Good evening. I guess it is looking outside and seeing it dark. My name is Julie Willems-Andike. I work for the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Although I am not faculty, I work on the national program called County Health Rankings and Roadmaps. How many of you have heard of that? Obviously, you guys. Others? Okay. So, I also do not have any relationships to disclose. So I stand before you on the shoulders of my really great colleagues at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, who funds this work, and our team at Wisconsin, and my many public health nursing partners through my career. I am first and foremost a public health nurse. I have also had a long history of working in local health department as a public health nurse, as a nursing director, and as a local health official in north central Wisconsin. But 4 years ago, I went to join this team working on the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps project. And so what I really intend to do over the next 20 minutes is share with you the relationship that I have seen working on this between social determinants of health and the practice of public health nursing, and then help you see some of the tools and resources that are available through the rankings and roadmaps to take action to improve the social determinants of health. It's really great to stand up here after two presentations that clearly understand determinants of health and how you can take one step forward at a time to work with your local community members to do that. And my hope is that we'll all leave here today, not only from this session, but this conference, feeling more empowered to do so. So this is why I became a nurse. If you look at this picture, a colleague shared this with me this summer. I'd never seen it before, but when I did, I thought, yep, that's it, because I want to create a world that looks like the right side of that picture, where we empower every member of our community to be able to see the baseball game, rather than the left side, which is a very equal way of distributing resources and health in the community, but obviously as a result didn't turn out so well for the little guy. And so I became a nurse in 1982. That doesn't seem that long ago to me, but clearly it's a really long time ago. And you know what is striking to me as I reflect back on that is the Evans and Stoddard model of the multiple determinants of health wasn't even in the world articulated this way when I went to nursing school. I am very proud to say I have a daughter who's in her senior year, completing her bachelor's of science in nursing, and she sometimes comes home to me and says, if one more instructor tells me to think upstream, I'm going to puke, Mom. And I'm like, yes. How the world has changed, because no one told me to think upstream in 1982 or 1978 to 82 when I was in nursing school. So we didn't have this model. But as I think about it, and I think about nursing theory and nursing models, and what we, those of you who in the room who are nurses, and we all learned in our basic nursing education. If you look at that model, this one happens to come from the University of California at San Francisco, and you think about person and you look at psychological, sociological, physiological, developmental, you know, those are the determinants of health. If we think about environment, physical, social, cultural environment, if we think about health in a way that focuses on a holistic model that thinks about what were the antecedents to why someone is not in optimal health and how can we address the symptoms so that we have better outcomes. Really, as nurses, we've known for a very long time, since the days of Florence Nightingale and Lillian Wald, about the determinants of health. So what I have really discovered is that this is a coming together. And, of course, I really like this model. I had nothing to do with creating it. It was all created by the time I joined the team. But what people have told me around the nation about this model, for those of you not familiar with it, this is the model that underpins the county health rankings, is that it provides a very simple way to talk about that determinants of health model. You know, those of us who are academics or researchers, normal people don't think like this. Or even like this. As someone said to me once, you put bidirectional arrows in anything, normal people's eyes glaze over. And so one of the things I really, really appreciate about the way my colleagues have developed this model is that it's very simple and very accessible for our many, many partners in the community who we want to engage in this journey on improving health. So quickly, for those of you who haven't spent as much time on this model, let me just spend a moment here explaining it. So you see a number of green bars at the top of the model that describe health outcomes. They're measures of morbidity and mortality, or length of life and quality of life. And when we calculate the county health rankings, we weight each of those individually, because we truly believe that how long you live is only as good as how well you live. We do a second set of rankings in the county health rankings based on everything you see in the blue boxes, or the health factors, measures of health behaviors, clinical care, social and economic factors, and the physical environment. And we measure those separately from the health outcomes because we really believe this is where you can take action to ultimately impact how long people live and how well they live. And if you mush it all together, people can't separate out where their action opportunities are. So the health factors, I often tell people in communities, that's a picture of tomorrow's health in your community, because that's where you can make change to ultimately have an impact on how long we live and how well we live. And we do that by focusing on policies and programs that, such as the ones that were described in the first two presentations, to impact different areas of those health factors, like alcohol use, like diet and exercise, like access to care, like family and social support, as the supportive housing presentation talked about. So I'm not really going to do a presentation on the county health rankings and roadmaps for those of you who are in mortal fear of me doing that, but I just want to make sure you're aware of this, because this is a really great tool. And what I really want to, I'm going to spend most of the time emphasizing, is not what you usually go to on our website, which is this page where all the data is. The data is really cool, but the data is not what this project is about. This project is about putting data together in such a fashion that people can get their arms around what creates health so that they can take action in their community. So if you go to countyhealthrankings.org, this is the page that you will see. And I want, because I don't have this later in the slide presentation, you default to the rankings page. But if you look right above Montana and North Dakota on the map, right above where it says health rankings, find health rankings, you'll see two little tabs there. One says rankings, that's in beige, and one says roadmaps, which is in blue. And what people miss when they come to this page is to click on that roadmaps tab, because that's where all the resources are about how you take action. So we're going to go there very shortly. Anyway, if you want to see your health outcomes, you click on your state, you get to a map of your state. The lighter colored counties are the healthier counties, darker unhealthier. You can click over and see the map for health factors. This would be the ranking based on health behaviors, clinical care, social and economic factors, and the physical environment, same color scheme. And then you can click on any given county, in this case Suffolk County, where we sit today, and you will get to a snapshot that describes all of the specific measures that go into the county health rankings with comparisons to your state mean and a national benchmark. So we do this all, as I said, to take action. And my job over the last 4 years has been to go out and share the county health rankings with people throughout the nation, and to help communities who are interested in taking action be empowered with tools and guidance and coaching and resources to be able to do that. And the reason I submitted this application to present as part of the public health nursing section at APHA was because as I do that work, one of the things that distresses me the most is how seldom I see nurses at the table. Now, that's probably not true in the communities you guys are in. So I'm really interested in thinking of ideas that we can get this message, because you must be interested in this to sit in a session at 5:10 on Monday night. So, you know, what I really am on a mission is to think about how we can empower nurses to be part of the conversations that are happening around how to move this forward. Now, one thing I did, well, I got asked to do the keynote address at the Public Health Nursing Conference in Wisconsin, and some of what I'm presenting now comes from that presentation. But I'm very interested in your thoughts and ideas about how we can empower nurses, and I'm so glad to know there's faculty here, because I think really instilling this in our students, in our next generations of nursing, I'm so glad my daughter's sick of hearing about upstream and what she needs to do. And, you know, I'm really proud that when she had a community health project, she went to the County Health Rankings website to think about what to do next. But if we think about this cycle, I want to quickly introduce you to a couple of tools on the website that would be helpful in moving forward as you work in your communities as public health nurses or other public health professionals. So one of the things I think nurses are incredibly valuable with is exactly what was illustrated earlier. You know community members. Public health nurses are out in the community. They know people. They know people from vulnerable populations. They know people that can come to the table and have genuine, authentic voices on these issues. So a really important skill that nurses bring to this table. Nurses can be great communicators. Not only can they bring the voice of the people that they serve, that they care for, to the table, but they can do it in a very authentic way. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this slide, but I just encourage you. There's a document referenced here and available on the APHA website with my slides are from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, a new way to talk about social determinants of health. Many of us work in communities that are very focused on individualism, that are very focused on feeling that government should not have a role in affecting health. And so this document really helps you talk about this communal way of thinking about health in a way that may speak to someone who is more individually oriented. So a really great resource. When we think about community health assessment and prioritization, first of all, I just want to say nurses should be at the table. In my health department, when I was the health officer, the nurses were like, well, that's for the health educators or the health officer. We're busy taking care of people. And, you know, I really challenge them to say, what you're doing taking care of people, first of all, is part of this process. And you need to bring your skills to the table to help inform what the needs are and where we move in our community. So I did an analysis of all of the community health assessments in Wisconsin. It is a mandate in our state, so there were 92 of them. And we did a lot of things really, really well. You can see the grand majority talked about special populations, had disaggregated data. We're really we're focusing on listening to people. We're focusing across the health factors. However, areas for room for improvement that I think nursing can really help with, and I suspect Wisconsin isn't that different than other states, is that only 20% of the community health assessments had sought any direct feedback from their community about the priorities or about what was going into that health improvement plan. Obviously not in southwestern Minnesota, but it was a challenge. And also only 14% of the 458 priorities we identified in those 92 plans focused on social and economic factors. And we know they have the greatest influence on health. So I'd say another problem with that is 90 plans had 458 priorities. So maybe we need to focus a little more too. So once we have focused and we need to think about what we want to do in terms of effective policies and programs, we know that people practicing out in local health departments want to implement effective policies and programs, but you don't have time to sit down and do a literature review. And so what we have done on the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps project is we've done a lit review of everything that's in the blue boxes on our model. And so you can go to this place on our website. It's on the roadmaps part of the website. If you click over on roadmaps and scroll down, you'll find the link to What Works for Health on that homepage. And if you click on any one of the boxes in the health factors, you'll get to a page that describes a variety of policies and programs, and it rates the evidence for each of those policies and programs on a 6-level scale, everything from scientifically supported to some evidence to expert opinion to insufficient evidence to mixed evidence to evidence of ineffectiveness. And then we give you basically an abstract about that policy and program and links to implementation resources for that program. So it's kind of a one-stop shop of evidence. A lot of times people say, well, how's that different than the community guide? First of all, we search the community guide, so anything that's in the community guide you'll find in What Works. And the other thing is we look at all 4 health factors. So the community guide primarily focuses on health behaviors and access to care. We add in the social and economic factors and the physical environment as well. So really great resource. Not enough people know about it, and so want to be sure and put it in your hands. And then finally, we'll want to take action. And so we all know this wheel. You know, Linda Olson Keller, who was the mother of this wheel, is one of my mentors. And, you know, we have very specific strategies for how to help our community members move action forward. And, you know, I think about the focus on policy, systems, and environmental change. And here, you know, those attributes, policy development and enforcement, advocacy, social marketing, coalition building, community organizing, all of those things that are front and center on our public health stage today were in this wheel 10, 15 years ago. And this model has worked very well for me. Most of you will recognize this as the social ecological model. Again, as you talk with communities, especially when they're so focused on that individual responsibility, let's just tell people to behave better, is if you can help people see how people can behave better and make better choices when they're surrounded by supportive families, institutions, communities, and good policy. And so in an example of this, I'm actually going to go to this slide, from a couple of areas. PNCC is prenatal care coordination, a case management program for pregnant women at risk of a poor birth outcome. And you can see how we can help our communities think about interventions at each of those levels on the social ecological model to move action forward. And then, as nurses, we can help them think about some of the social and economic factors. If we want to improve education in our community, there are things you can do in the home with individuals. You know, kids need to go to class and do their homework, but they need to do it in a family that helps them turn off the TV, that attends those parent-teacher conferences. There's things we can do in our schools to support that, in our community, and from a policy level. So then finally, we need to evaluate our actions. An excellent way for people practicing at the local level to collaborate with their academic partners. But even when you live in a place like I did, where the nearest university was 100 miles away, the nearest nursing school was over 100 miles away. You know, there are resources that can help you think through really pragmatic, practical evaluation at the local level. So I leave you with, what step will you take to create health for all in your community? And really, I leave you also with the question about how do we help our nursing colleagues come to the table? How do we empower them more to be part of these efforts in their local communities? Because the voice of nurses is so powerful. You know, every year when the Gallup poll comes out and they tell us we're the most trusted profession, and then sometimes we whine and fritter that away. We need to claim that and say, here we are to move health forward. So, thank you.